Jesus was ruling and in control and on the throne of the hearts of the people. He knows a different thing. We can sing, "He's my King," and say that nicely about Him. But you know, there's only one way you can know really if He is your King or not. And that is kings reign on thrones. And if Jesus is not reigning on the throne of your heart, He isn't your King yet. It could be you're still on the throne. Amen. And you got to get off of the throne and let Him have His rightful place. Do you know there's coming a day when Jesus said, "He that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on His throne." You see where He's at? I mean, He's up there in heaven and He's got a throne right next to Almighty God the Father. And God has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. I tell you that, He's going to be a mighty big King. Every knee shall bow. Not only that, but every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the word of the Lord says this, the time will come, He's going to come back to the earth with all His saints and going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 long years. And the overcoming saints will rule and reign with Him all over this world. They'll be on thrones of the various thrones of the kingdoms all of this world here. And we who have been kind of put down by the world, don't bother about that. Don't take it as an insult, because this isn't our day yet. Our days are coming. Yes. Hallelujah! Yes. Our days are coming. Amen. When the King comes. Amen. And we come linked up to the King. Stay linked to the King. You know when, you've turned you with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Would you do that? Matthew chapter 2. And when my King, and He your King if He's reigning on the throne of your heart, when He first was announced by Almighty God, how do you think God announced Him? He announces Him from the very introduction of Jesus as to who He really is. He announced Him that He's King. Go over there to Matthew chapter 2. Y'all, I reckon, have this in your celebrating Christmas time. But let's just look at it one more time. We won't stop here, but we'll start here. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that's just His body, because that wasn't the first time He ever appeared, because all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So you can see that He had no beginning. In fact, you go over there to the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That means that Jesus has no beginning. And you go over there to the book of Hebrews in chapter 7, and verses 1 and 2. And it tells us over there that this King Melchizedek, He is King of righteousness and King of peace. Say, whoever in this world ever come up of all humanity that could be called King of righteousness? Whoever was born that be called King of peace? Children of God, do you realize this? That from the time of Jesus' birth into this world, because He is the Prince of Peace, when He was born in this world, all our calendar dates right back to where when He came. 1996, as we are right now, that's 1996 years from the time that Jesus came down to earth. Our calendar is dated from Him. It had its beginning with Him, the King. My God, hear this. And when He came here, It says it was in the days of Herod, the little dinky king. And that little feller on his throne, reared back there like a rooster ready to crow, he has some guests come to his headquarters. And it says in, they were wise men, and they come from the east. And they must have been big muckety mucks because they were riding on important animals, the kind that got those humps on the back. And they were decorated with all kinds of fancy jewelry and all kinds of gold and silver and tapestry and real fancy clothes on these men. And when Herod has them come to his palace, they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." I guess all point where east is at. His star in the east. And we're come to worship him. Oh my. Worship. Worship. That runs through Herod's mind. He's upset. When he sees who these big men are, these important men are, and the big important men like these are come to worship him, that he must be bigger than they. And then he said, since he's king, where does that put me? And says, how old is he? They said, well, now we've been journeying a long spell, but we saw, hear it, we saw his star in the east. His star. And that star's been our guide. Huh? Who can this be? Stars guide these people to this king? What king has ever been born that was guided by a star? Oh Lord. He no little dinky king. He is the one who created those stars. For all things were made by him that are in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. All things were made by him. Herod scared skinny. He said, sure, this is bad. Big important men. Star guiding them. They want to worship him. I'm threatened. I'm going to see that king's put out of business. He didn't realize who he's dealing with. That little dinky king. It'd take more than him to handle this my king. Our king. Take more than him. So he said, you go over there and you find him. And when you found him, and I worshiped him, I want you to come back and tell me where he's at. And I'll come and do the same thing. Yeah. The wise men left. And you know what? They had made a big mistake. Sad to say, when they were coming from the east and that star was a guiding them, they come on up there to where two roads forked. And one goes to Bethlehem, the other goes to Jerusalem. Because Bethlehem's only about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Because they figure this. You gotta watch out how you figure. Better figure right. They said, king, since he's king, Jerusalem is headquarters. That's the capital of the king. So we better go to the capital because that's where the king born. But God's got another arrangement. Amen. He's going to put his big king in a little dinky place. You know, when you get big on the inside, you don't mind taking a dinky place. My God. In fact, it's a matter, if anybody asks you to usher, you ush. Amen. If anybody asks you to be a trustee, you just trustee. Anybody ask you to be deacon, you deek good. Amen. But anybody ask you to teach, you teach for Jesus. Don't teach for you. Teach for Him. If you preach, you preach for Jesus. My God. You can't preach for anybody higher. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His name. My God Almighty. If you sing, don't sing this to show off and get a lot of nanny goat in your voice. You know what I'm talking about. And then sing real high until you're scratching the plaster off of the ceiling. And hold your voice so long until you nearly lose your breath. A showing off. You ain't singing for Jesus. Oh, Lord. Anybody showing off, they're doing it for himself. Amen. You know what Jesus said? He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He that speaketh of him that sent him, the same is true. And there's no unrighteousness in him. No, Herod's worried. Wise men haven't come back to him. Why? They got orders from headquarters. Don't go back to little dinky Herod. God's angel said, he's trying to put my king to death. But he can't find him. God sent an angel, he says, Joseph, Mary, skedaddle out of here. Go down in Egypt. And I give you plenty of money from these big shots from the east. I give you plenty of money to live on all the time you're down there. Until the time I just kind of take the breath out of the body of that little dinky king. And he land with his toes stuck up on the cooler boy. Amen. Because you see, my king and your king, if Jesus is king in your heart, you can know that he is king because he's different from all other kings because he shall reign forever. All other kings just reign for a little while. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that ain't nothing. Listen, go with me now to the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Going to talk about my king. And I want you to know this, that this is a big angel of talking now. This angel is Gabriel. One of the big fellers up there in heaven. And Gabriel is a talking. And look over here. He's talking to Mary. Going to be the mother of my king and your king. And he says, Mary, you found favor with God. And behold, you're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bear a son. And go and call his name Jesus. So I'm going to talk about now King Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Amen. His name is Jesus. And this is what I want to tell you about him. He shall be great. What else? He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Yes. You hear that? What else? And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign where? Over the house of Jacob, how long? Forever. How long is that? All the other little dinky kings just reigned for a little while. But this king gonna reign forever. Hallelujah. Ooh. My God. My God. I want to learn a little bit more about my king. You see, down here, we get a little old bug gets into our body. You preacher know about that bug. That little bug in there, a little old tiny itsy bitsy thing. And yet, it can just take your strength away from you and make you feel weak and sickly and give you fever. Little old tiny dinky germ. But let me tell you something. In the eighth chapter of Matthew, a man had a whole bunch of little old bugs working on him until this poor man, he had leprosy. And what's happening to his body? The fingers just drop off. The blood circulation stops. The flesh dries up, dies, and drops off. He's losing his sight, his hearing. Ears drop off. Body parts drop off. And this poor man, he can't get near to Jesus. The law won't let that happen. The law says you are to stay away, leper, so you won't put any of your bad germs into somebody else's body and mess them up so they get like you. You got to be away from people. When anybody comes even near to you, not knowing your condition, you are to have a cloth from here down, so your breath from your nose and from your mouth don't get near to their bodies. You not only have to have that cloth over you, but you've got to cry out, unclean, unclean, so they are warned to stay away. But let me tell you something. Let's look at here in Matthew chapter 8. And this man's talking to Jesus in verse 2 as he worships the King. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, if you're willing, thou canst make me clean. You can just kill every bug and germ in my body. No man can do that. No doctor can do that. No medicine can do it. No nothing can do it. But if you will, you'll do it. And Jesus did what? Stretched forth his hand and touched him. He wasn't even supposed to be near him, much less touch him. But Jesus isn't scared about germs. Hallelujah! He's the King over all germs, over all sickness, and over all disease. Hear this. Folks, let it get a hold of your heart. What any flu bug, pneumonia bug, or even AIDS bug, or even potato bug, or a flea bug, or a lousy bug. I mean, he's King. Let me show you something. I was invited to preach over there in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at a rescue mission. And the head, Mr. Shaughnessy of that mission, he said, now, Brother Hendricks, don't get near to any of the men that will likely come to your altar call. Don't get near to them, because many of them are diseased, and many of them are full of lice. A lot of them even got fleas on. So you won't get them on you. And we had the altar call. And the men came. And one man was there, praying so pitifully, crying. And I felt sorry for him and went over to him. And I said, sir, what you want Jesus to do for you? He said, to save me and heal me. And I put my arms around him. And while I'm praying for him, he's itching. And I stopped the prayer. I said, what you doing? He said, a scratching. I said, why? He says, because the bugs are biting. I said, let's stop right now. They're trying to hinder the King from coming in by getting your mind on yourself and on your misery and off of the King. Let's pray and see what He will do for you. And we laid hands on His body and called on the name of the Lord, and the power of God went into that man. I said, shake your coat on the altar. And there they were. I mean, when the King got through with them, they couldn't crawl down and off of that altar. They were dead bugs. And when He saw those dead bugs, He said, I didn't know He that big. I said, you haven't heard the half. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's King over all germs, over disease. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And He touched him and healed him completely. And it didn't take a long time. He does that just right now. Do you know this Bible says, according to your faith be it unto you. You got little faith, you get a little. You got more faith, you get more. You got a lot of faith, you get more. You get a lot. You get a lot. According to your faith be it unto you. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. But wait, according to the power that worketh in us. How much power is working in you? Hear this. How much power is working? Do you know that there are degrees of power? Do you know that the Spirit was not given to Jesus by measure? I mean, John 3, 34, 35. Spirit was not given to Him a measure, but to the rest of us have to measure to us according to our capacity. Now look, if you only got a thimble capacity, you could be filled, you could be full, but you only got a thimble full. You see, if you've got a bucket capacity and you're full, then you've got a bucket capacity. But if you got a barrel capacity and it's full, then you got barrel full. So a big difference between the little full, thimble full, and the barrel full is quantity. Did He say, I'll pour out of my Spirit on all flesh? God's in the pour business. Got plenty of Holy Ghost power. And you know that Holy Ghost couldn't come until my King went up there and said, Holy Ghost, it's time for you to go down there. You're getting quiet. Let me give you some Bible. Jesus said, it is expedient for you. Expedient means necessary, urgent, important, necessary, that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. You hear that? My King, even the Holy Ghost is subject to Him. You hear that? Lord. And that isn't all. Angels are subject to Him. Hear this. Oh Lord. Angels subject to Him. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Sometimes 13 they say is an unlucky number, but don't let that scare you off from here. Oh Lord. My Lord. I want you to look at verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. And what are they going to do? They're going to gather out of His kingdom all things that offend them, them that ain't a living right, them that do iniquity. And I won't go into all what they're going to happen to them, because I'm dealing with my King, your King, if He's reigning on your throne of your heart. He's got angels that are subject to Him. In fact, listen at this. Do you know that Almighty God is making an announcement to all of His angels up there? He said, I want all of the angels to worship Him. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8, you find that. Let all the angels worship Him. Not only obey Him, but bow to Him. That's my King. And let's go a little further. You go with me to chapter 24. There's coming a time when our King, my King, bless His name, He's going to come with power and great glory to rule and reign on the earth. Chapter 24 and verse 31. And He, that's Jesus, you know it's Jesus, you go back to verse 30, and it says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels. Angels are subject to Him. They take orders from Him. They're dependent upon Him. He tells them what to do. He sends His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You hear that? And that's not all. Let's go to chapter 25. I want to see about my King, your King, if He's reigning where He's supposed to reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over in verse 31, chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. You hear that? The King sitting on the throne of His glory. What's going to happen? Before Him shall be gathered all... who? Nations. What? Nations? You mean nations are all subject to Him? You just haven't heard the last of it. Hallelujah. All the nations come before Him. And what's He going to do? He's going to have a separating time. And it says this, He's going to separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. And He's going to put on the right hand those who have made Him King, and He rule and reign on their heart. Those who have Him as their Savior, Lord and Master, you're going to have them on the right side. And on the left side, you're going to have these are the sheep folks, and then on the other side are going to be the goat folks. And sometimes we have goat folks in the church. You can always tell a goat, they always buck against everything spiritual. And they say this, oh, preacher, I would live for the Lord better, but my wife, or but my kids, but my job. You better get out of the button game. The button religion is goat religion. Lord help us now. I want you to know this, folks, that there isn't a problem, there isn't a person, there isn't a thing that can mess you up when Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart. I mean, when He's ruling and reigning, He has mastery and power over all drugs. You hear that? All drugs. I mean, that is even over the stinkweed drunk. Yes. And over the booze drunk. And even over those seemingly over-the-counter drugs You can get addicted to those things. Then there are a lot of drugs they got on out today that are sold down in Detroit. You buy right cheap at cocaine, marijuana, a lot of that nasty stuff that can hook you and make you a prisoner and a slave, and you can't break the habit for nothing. But I want you to know there is no habit but that my King can break it by His mighty power. There is no sin, regardless of the nature of that sin, whether it's a lust demon, pride demon, hate demon, murder demon, jealousy spirit, envy spirit, spirit of strife, contention. Oh Lord, spirit of hate, bad thing, spirit of stealing. I've known the people who had such sticky fingers that it'd been better if they had the money, they could just buy it, but they had that old demon of stealing in there, and they'd rather steal it than buy it, though they could. But they got to get delivered. I never forget. A man called me up. He said, "Preacher, our church had a prayer meeting for me for demon cast out, and it wouldn't budge. It wouldn't go. And I heard that God would give you a little extra dose of that Holy Ghost power. Would you set me free?" I said, "If you ever get set free, my King will have to do it." You hear that? My King will have to do it. I can't set anybody free. I'm not the liberator of captives, but the captain of my salvation is. He has programmed us for victory and not defeat. Hallelujah. He's victorious over all demons. So the fellow came. And we got in, we had a prayer meeting. And the more we prayed, the more the Holy Ghost, tongue talking spirit, got a hold of me. And I mean this, that when He takes over, just let Him talk. He talking to the Father. Amen. And getting that, helping me get my battery charged. And then when He just took really in control, I said, "Pray after me this prayer. Oh Lord God, in Jesus' name, I come to your throne of grace." He said, "I can't say that." He said, "Oh Lord God," but He wouldn't say that next part. I said, "Try it." He said, "I can't. It won't come out. I tried, it won't come out. My King, reigning on the throne of my heart, took authority over that spirit. You foul spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him." And all of a sudden the man wilted down, slumped down. Pray God for strength and power, because when that evil spirit leaves out, the power leaves out with it, because demons got power. Jesus said, "I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy." So the devil must have power, or he wouldn't say power over all. Hear it? So now, the Lord put power and strength in there. I said, "Pray with me this prayer. Oh Lord God." He said, "Oh Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow my heart and surrender to you." He prays the same. "I ask you to cleanse me by your blood from all of my sins. Wash me clean. I know you'll only come into a clean house. Wash me clean by your precious blood. Now, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sins and I rely on you to make me right. Come on in, Jesus." And Jesus came in. And we had a new man walk out of that place, and he said this, "I never felt so good in my life. I'm glad I came. Only because my King has all power over all spirits. And listen what he said this. My King said this. I give unto you power over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He don't keep all of this power to himself, because he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yes. And he said this, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's my King. Now, when do you all quit? Well, all right. Let me just give you a little. Let me just talk a little bit more about my King. A centurion. He's a big, important man. Centurion. He's a Roman general. Got a whole bunch of stars. 5-star general. And he come to Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I've got a servant that is grievously tormented with an awful disease. And it's palsy. And it just torments him. And he says, you know, there is no deliverance. I have spent money here and there and everywhere, and nobody can help him. Would you come and do it? I like this. My King says, I will come and heal him. Nobody else could do it. Nothing fazes him. And so he started to the man's house. As they're going along, the man stopped Jesus. He said, you know, Lord, walking with you here, I'm not worthy that you would even come under my roof. Would you just speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole? For you see, I'm a man under authority. I say, go, he goes. I say, come, he comes. I say, this man, you do this, and he doeth. Though I've got authority over people, you got authority that I don't have. You hear this. Man, he recognized my King has authority over germs and bugs and diseases and sicknesses and sins of every kind. And he said, just speak the word only. The same word when Jesus spoke and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. He spoke the worlds into existence by his word. When he comes to reign on this earth over the Antichrist and over all of his forces, because he's going to have 10 kings under him. That is all those 10 horns, you know. He's going to have 10 kings under him. And these 10 kings are going to give unto the Antichrist his power and his authority. If you went over there to the book of Revelation in chapter 17, you'll find out that the Antichrist is the big cheese on the earth. He's ruling over all the world. Until my King comes. Hallelujah. And my King comes. Hallelujah. He comes on a white horse. And he comes with white linen garments. And he comes with all his saints. And by a spoken word, the same word he spoke the worlds into existence, he speaks. And all of a sudden, the Antichrist, that big dictator, big bruiser, he flops. And all of them that are under him flop, because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hear it. And his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. Hallelujah. And the word says, and he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And listen, And the last enemy that he shall put under his feet is death. Is death. There ain't nobody that can stop you from dying when comes your time to go, but my King. The widow of Nain is going to the cemetery, and there's a casket carrying her son, her only son. She's a widow woman. And Jesus comes along, compassion in her heart for her. He said, "Don't weep. Don't cry no more." When she hears his voice, she stops. He touches the beard, they call it, B-I-E-R, not E-E-R. He touches it, and the men stop. My King says, "Young man, I say unto thee," talking to a corpse now, "I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up. And he turned him over to his mother. Yeah. And instead of going to the cemetery crying, she went back home laughing. There's a big preacher. His name is Jairus. He's the head of the synagogue. But he was a believer in Jesus. Secret-like believer. And he comes to Jesus and he said, "My little daughter, at the point of death, we've done all we can do. And there's no help that can bring her back. She's dying." Jesus said, "I'll come with you. I'll come with you." He don't turn anybody down. And on the way, you know about the woman that had the issue of blood. And all other people were touching and touching. And virtue went out of him and healed them all. Did you read that in your Bible? And healed them all. Why? Because he wants all well. He ain't got healing just for a few folks. Some pets. Oh no, it's for everybody. He no respecter of person, has no pet. So finally, Jesus got to Jairus' house. And he walked in and he said, "She's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed him to scorn because they knew better. She's gone, dead. In fact, already some of Jairus' mourners and friends had come and said, "Don't trouble Jesus anymore. She's already dead." Too late now. But Jesus said, "Fear not. Only believe." And you see the glory of God. Jesus put all the laughers and the mockers and the unbelievers out. And then he went in with, "That is all. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Martha said, "By this time, Jesus, he's too late. Widow of Nain, son, dead 1 day. Jairus' daughter, dead few hours. Lazarus, dead 4 days. Too late now." If you read that Bible carefully, they had wrapped him in grave clothes, putting spices all along, wrapped. Go up to the head and then wrap down again, put more spices until he just all stiff like that. But wait, my King goes to the cemetery, the sepulcher, and he cries with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And it's a good thing he said Lazarus, or all I did was come out. And Lazarus come a floating through the air. He can't move, he's all bound up. He comes a floating through the air under the power of my King, and stands him right there in front of Jesus. And Jesus said to his followers, "Loose him. Let him go. That's your job. I gave him the big loosing. You do the little loosing." See, God leaves the little job to us, and He does the big jobs Himself.
Amen.
He does the big one. Amen. When my King was on the cross, dying for our sins, all of a sudden, there's a big earthquake. All the ground is shivering and shaking because He created this earth. And the earth is having a convulsion when He died. How do you know? The veil of the temple, 6 inches thick, ripped from the top to the bottom. It's 30 feet high. No ladders up there. No man, if he were up on a ladder, could even begin to put a wrinkle in it, much less tear it. But from the top to the bottom, it is ripped, and the Holy of Holies is opened up, showing that the way into the holy place has now been open for everybody to come. Only the high priest could go in before, but now all of us have been made kings and priests, and we can go right to the throne of grace. Why? Because the King opened the way. The King opened the way. That do you know? The rocks rent because the King was dying for our sins according to the Scripture. That do you know? When the King died, the graves open up only of believers. Unbelievers stayed shut. Only believers' graves opened up. Therefore, there were a lot of them open, a lot of them still shut. And then my King went to paradise where all the spirits of the redeemed were. And he said, I got an announcement to make to all of you. You won't be here any longer. Do you know where they were? Paradise was above hell. Hell beneath. The wicked, the sinners, mourning, screaming, wailing down there. Gate gulf between them and the saints in paradise. Rich man looks up there, sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and begs him to come with a drop of water and cool his tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Lazarus, Abraham says, he can't come. There's too big a gulf between the two. None can come from there up here. None can come from here down there. But I want you to know what my King did. He went to paradise. And he said, all of you people in paradise, you won't be here no more. I got a surprise for you. All of you that were raised in the Holy Land and around Jerusalem, long story in there, why Abraham insisted to be buried there, why Jacob died in the land of Egypt, asked that his body be brought back to the Holy Land. Why Joseph said, don't leave my bones here. There is coming a day when you will leave the land of Egypt. But don't leave my bones down there. I want them back in the Holy Land. Because he knew by divine revelation that when my King rises from the dead, he's going to take all of those living saints out of there and give them a stopover in Jerusalem. And then he's going to take paradise up into the third heaven. You find that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verses 2 through 5. It's now in the third heaven. And Jesus said, he that overcometh, let him eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's up there in the third heaven. And you know, Jesus, when he arose, all of those saints, he said, you're going to go back in your body and visit with your loved ones. And then I'm going to take you to the third heaven. And my King rose. They rose with him. Jesus, after his resurrection, he appears unto his disciples 17 times. They can't believe their eyes. This can't be Jesus. We saw him die. We saw that spear go through his side. We saw those spikes in his feet and in his hands. We saw him die and commend his spirit to God. It can't be him. But Jesus appeared over and over again. He said, handle me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Say, you got anything to eat around here? They said, sure. Broiled fish and honeycomb, and he eats in front of them. And when he eats, they can't believe the rest. It came. But that's my king. He is the king over death. The scripture says that when the purpose of his coming is to destroy him that has power over death, that is the devil. And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That isn't all about my king. You're going to have to hear more about him later. But time is gone. I'd like to go on over there to Revelation chapter 19. We ain't got time for that. And he comes on the white horse and all of the armies of heaven with him and all the saints with him. I'd like to tell you more about my king. Just one more thing. One day, he said to his disciples, you all go down. They fed 5,000 people. My king feeds 5,000 people on one boy's lunch, 5 loaves, little loaves, and 2 fishes. He feeds up 15,000 people by because there says 5,000 men besides women and children. And anybody had any sense knows there are always more people, little ladies come to church than men. Yeah. And you know this, that they'll bring their young ones along with them. So there's a big bunch of people. And that little bit of food, he multiplies it until everybody is fed and filled up. How you know they're filled up? Because Jesus said, disciples, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing belongs. And they gathered the fragments up, and they had 12 baskets full. Start out with one basket, end up with 12 after feeding 5,000 people. That's my king. Let me tell you one more thing. While after they finished that feeding that 5,000, he said, you all get in the boat and go back over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and I'll meet you there. Meet you there. How are you going to get there, Jesus? Said, don't worry. My king is not limited to boats. He's not limited to boats. He's not limited to anything. And after he had a prayer meeting up there to his father, he begins to walk on the water. You hear me? Walking on the water. That's my king. Amen. And when he gets near to him, they see that's a ghost. Spirit, spook. And they cry out real loud. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Yeah. Peter said, that sounds like Jesus they're talking. He said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come unto you on the water. Jesus just said one word. Come. And Peter got up out of that boat. And now you have to listen to this real carefully. He started walking on, not on the water. He walked on come. You hear it? He walked on the Word of God. He walked on the Word that was with God and was God. He walked on the Word. Jesus said, come. He walks on come. As long as he walks on come, he's doing good. But, you know, he got his eyes off of come, off of the Word, and on the waves, and on the storm, and on the winds, and he got afraid. Because he got afraid that with the storm was going to send him down, his fears made him sink. And he starts sinking. And he cries out, help! Jesus just reached down and caught him and lifted him back up on come. As long as you're walking on the Word, you can't go down.
That's right.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That word, when Jesus said, come, he could have made it safely to where Jesus was because he was trusting in his word. Folks, you'll make it in safe up yonder trusting the word. Don't trust people, trust the word. If they speak the word, the scripture says this, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So check everybody by the word. In closing, if there's anyone here unsaved, I want you to know this. The only way you can get saved is by the word. You hear that? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He said over there in James 1, 18 and 21, we're begotten by the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. He said over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23, that been born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And in this word, it tells you who are unsaved, anyone here unsaved, the first thing you need to do to get in God's family, to have Jesus as your king, so that he will rule and reign in your heart over all sicknesses, over all sin, over all disease, over all demons of hell, and over all death itself. And you will reign in life by one, even Jesus Christ. He programmed you for victory and not defeat. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's Christ. Notice it. We, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have victory without having Jesus stuck in there. He's the king. And he gives you victory. He programmed you for victory. One day, a man meets Abraham. His name is Melchizedek. And he is described as being king of righteousness and king of peace. What mortal could fit into the shoes to be qualified to be called king of righteousness and king of peace? That scripture doesn't leave us guessing. It says he's without father and without a mother. But he ain't got no papa, no mama. How'd he get here? I mean this. He was before the world was.
Right.
It says without father, without mother, without beginning of days or end of life. If he had no beginning of days, he has no end of life. He's eternal. And that was Jesus, my king. King of righteousness. That's a whole sermon in itself now about the king of righteousness and king of peace. Righteousness first, and secondly, then peace. You can't have peace without righteousness. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness,
yes.
Peace,
yes.
Second, and joy in the Holy Ghost.